When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, well, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, shame no longer has a place to hide, and I am not a captive to the lie. No, I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, there's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. Oh, there's power that can break up every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. Power in your name, power in your name. Well, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Well, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me, and if my God is with me, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go. Through the coming, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of me. Oh no. Never let go, through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yeah, I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yeah, I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you, Lord. Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Of my enemy, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, and heaven comes to fight for me. Well, I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar, and up from the ashes, hope will arise. Inside of me, I raise a hallelujah, and I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. A hallelujah. Fear you lost your hold on me. Well, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder.
Thanks, Rich and Adam. It's great. And welcome to you. Hello, everyone. It's good to have you with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. Wherever you are, online, watching the video, on phones, it's great to have you with us. So thank you for joining us this morning. And hey, do you know, I can't believe it's the last day of February. Can you imagine that? Doesn't time fly? But It's good that you've chosen on what is a beautiful day, instead of going out to do your obligatory exercise, you're in at the moment, or you're watching this. So it's good to have you with us. But even though, you know, the calendar month may draw to an end, every day, including today, is a new day. It's a new day of opportunities to see how and to know how and to share in God's love and in his mercy and in his faithfulness. Isn't that amazing? Every single day is the same. And as those familiar words from Lamentations chapter 3 say, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Do you believe that? Do we all believe that? The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And that goes for today, and it will go for tomorrow and the day after. Our God is good, is he not? Do I hear an amen? There's a few voices here, but it's, yeah, God is good. God is good. But, you know, even in the midst of it, it's difficult for us as well. And we're going to also remember a member of our church family, Anna Tharp, who's poorly in hospital at the moment. But we want to give our time to God. So let's pray, shall we? So, Lord, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the wonder of the faithfulness of nature, which you've created, which you've set in place, which gives us this fresh day. Thank you for the breath in our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for just the opportunities which we have each day to taste and to know of your love and your faithfulness. So, Lord, thank you. And thank you for this opportunity where we can be together. Perhaps not in body, but we can be together in spirit and in the connection being church because of you, Lord God. And thank you for the Lord Jesus in the salvation that he's brought us. And that we can celebrate and we can enjoy being your people in this place. And in wherever it is we are. Lord, connect with us, we pray, as we give ourselves to you. And I pray that, Lord, you'd minister into our lives. And Lord, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what the circumstances are around us, and Lord, our hearts go out to Anna at the moment, and we pray that, Lord, you'd minister to her as she's in hospital, struggling, not well at all. Lord, bless her, we pray. May your peace and your comfort, your very presence be very real to her. And for her family too, Lord, we lift them all to you. But Lord, go with each one of us, and if there's anyone else within our congregation, within our connections, even those who are watching, who are struggling, Lord, minister into their lives, we pray. So we give each person into your hands, Lord God. Thank you that we can, because you're a loving and faithful God. We bless you, and we give this time to you, Jesus, in your lovely name. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a few announcements, a few notices if I could. Firstly, we welcome two new team members to the new regular team today, and that's Alison Snell and Pete Collins. And Alison's going to be bringing God's word to us a bit later, and Pete's going to be leading us in some prayers in a bit. So welcome to you both. It's good to have you. Perhaps it bodes well for a few more people in a few weeks' time, maybe. I won't jump to conclusions too soon. Anyway, we're also reminded, if I could, that we're on to week 2 of 5 of the Churches Together Lent course, Caring for Creation. And that's on Tuesday mornings at 11 and on Wednesday evenings at 7 via Zoom. And if you want the details, there is a post here on our Facebook page, but you can go via the Church Together website or even the church. Emmanuel Baptist Church website, and all the information is there. It's prayer time this week, this Wednesday evening, 7:30. That's also via Zoom. So if you would like the link for that, then just leave a note in the comments if you're not usually sent that, and we'll make sure it gets to you. And of course, we have our coffee time afterwards. Again, it's not quite the same, but it does the job. be able to see each other. And also there's that opportunity for prayer if you would like that. And that's both at start at 11:30 after our service today. Again, if you want the Zoom code for that, then do leave a note in the comments. Okay, we're going to hand over to our friends, Rich and George. Oh, stand by.
Well, hello, everybody. And today, George and I are going to be talking to you about injustice.
Cool. That's a long word.
That's a really long word. Do you know what it means? Well, injustice is when you're treated badly for something and it isn't your fault. Or when you're treated unfairly or blamed for something you didn't do. George, can you think of a time where maybe that's happened to you?
Yeah.
Can you? What happened?
We cooked brownies for Mark Hatto.
We cooked brownies for Mark Hatto? And there was some injustice?
Yeah.
Well, I think we'd better show people what we're talking about. Hello, boys.
Hello.
What have we been up to today?
We made loads of brownies for Mark Hatto.
For Mark? Which Mark's that?
The Mark in charge.
The minister at church? That's great. I'm going to go get a box to put them in. I'll be right back, okay?
Yep.
Disappointed in you. Did you eat all of those brownies?
No, I really didn't.
George, don't lie to me. Right, you come with me. We're going to work out a punishment.
But.
Come with me right now.
Oh dear.
Daddy, we feel really bad.
Why do you feel bad?
Because we ate the brownies.
You ate the brownies?
Sorry.
Did you lie about George?
Yes, sorry.
But he got in so much trouble. I can even see the brownie round your mouth now. Oh dear, he got punished and it wasn't his fault. He got in lots of trouble and he hadn't done anything wrong. How do you think George is feeling?
Sad.
Sad? Upset? What do you think we need to do?
Talk.
We need to talk, don't we? Okay, I'll go get George and you need to talk. Now, boys, you've both told me that you lied about George eating the brownies and that actually you ate all of Mark Hatto's brownies. How are you feeling?
Sad about us.
Well, I should hope so too. Now, George, how are you feeling?
Okay, actually.
You're feeling all right?
Yeah.
And why is that?
God knew the truth all along.
God knew the truth?
Yeah.
So you're not angry with Max or with Alfred?
No.
Well, I think you guys all need to have a hug. And then you three can go off and play together before bedtime, okay? Off we go.
Oh, I love you.
Well, George, I'm really glad that everything got sorted out. And actually, I was really impressed at how forgiving you were when you were treated badly.
Yeah.
Was it easy?
No, but I trusted God.
Well, that's what we need to do. And that reminds me of a boy in the Bible called Joseph. Joseph had lots of brothers, and in fact they got so fed up with him one day They thought about killing him, but instead they sold him as a slave to the Egyptians.
That's horrid!
It's really horrible. And even though his brothers had done a really mean thing to him, Joseph didn't get angry. He didn't blame God. In fact, he chose to trust in God, his friend, and do the right thing, even when he was a slave.
Wow, that's really hard.
I think it must have been. And actually, Joseph is a really good person to look up to, because even when things got hard or weren't fair, even though he was in another country and no one was making him do the right thing anymore, he chose to follow God.
Is that because they're friends?
Yeah, and we're going to sing our theme song for the kids' talks at the moment, I Am a Friend of God.
Well, who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? That you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. Whoa, I am a friend of God. Whoa, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? And is it true that you are thinking of me? That you love me? It's amazing, 'cause I am a friend of God. God, whoa, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I'm a friend.
I am a friend of God. Whoa, I am a friend of God. Whoa, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. God Almighty, God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. 'Cause I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Whoa, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of
Good morning. As you know, the church tithes 10% of our income, and the World Mission Team distribute it on the church's behalf. Several of those charities are involved in work to help Christian prisoners who are imprisoned for their faith. Today, we want to pray for those people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the many Christians who are being held in prisons, both at home and abroad, simply because they trust in the Lord Jesus as Saviour, many of whom have been falsely accused of crimes or deliberately set up to fall foul of the law, simply because they are believers in your name. Lord, I pray that you will be with each one of them in their imprisonment. Break any bonds of fear and bitterness, and may the love of Jesus be shown forth in their actions and attitudes, so that the people around them recognize that there is something special about them and the God whom they serve. Set each one free, I pray, not only from their physical incarceration, but also from their spiritual prison. Help them to rest in the Lord Jesus, knowing that in the small part, they are participating in the fellowship of his suffering. Use each of us as a witness of Jesus Christ, and may many be drawn into the kingdom of God. And we give thanks for the gracious love these prisoners display in their time of great difficulty. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, let us pray for all the Christian workers around the world who are often putting their own lives at risk and in danger. Keep them safe in the knowledge that they are surrounded by the love and the peace of God. We pray these prayers in the loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
When all around is fading, nothing seems to last. When each day is filled with sorrow, still I know with all my heart, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. And I fear no evil, for you are with me, strong to deliver and mighty to save. He's got the whole world in his hand. And when I walk through fire, well, I will not be burned. When the waves come crashing round me, well, still I know with all my heart, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And I fear no evil, for you are with me, strong to deliver and mighty to save. He's got the whole world in his hand. When all around is fading, nothing seems to last. When each day is filled with sorrow, still I know with all my heart, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. I've been no evil, for you are with me, strong to deliver and mighty to save. He's got the whole world in his hands. when I walk through fire. Well, I will not be bound when the waves come crashing round me. Still I know with all my heart, He's got the whole world in His hand. 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 I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Strong to deliver, mighty to save. He's got the whole world in His hand. Into your hand I commit again all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hand, and I am yours forever. In Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. I walk with you wherever you go, through tears and joy. I'll trust in you, and I will live in all of your ways and your promises forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. Will worship. I will worship you. I will worship. I will worship you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am.
Hey, I love great songs, absolutely brilliant. Now, a lot of you are feeling for me at the moment. You needn't worry, I've got my brownie. And I'll tell you, fantastic. So thanks, Doherty. Thanks, Max, Alfred, and George. I know you were the key guys in this, but thank you for my brownie. I have to say, it's really nice. And I can understand why George was accused, because, yeah, anyway, less of that. Don't eat brownie on live. Anyway, we've really good to have Alison come and bring God's word to us. So let's just pray and ask for God's blessing upon her. So, Father, thank you for all these messages which we've been hearing and learning from other people who've been caught in a lockdown. So, Lord, I pray that today will be no exception. And I pray that, Lord, you would bless Alison now as she brings your word. May you speak to us through her, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, you will all be familiar with the Keep Calm and Carry On poster. Designed in 1939, the intention was to keep up British morale under the threat and imminence of war. There was a great fear of air attack on the major cities, and the nation prepared for war, and normal, everyday life was once again disrupted by violence and destruction. Interestingly, though, this poster wasn't really widely used. It was discovered in the year 2000 in a bookshop up north somewhere, and then became a commercial success. The slogan can be found, as you know, on mugs, cushions, water bottles, coasters, notebooks, clothing, etc., and often has an altered ending for humorous effect. Here's one for my teacher friends. Keep calm and pretend it's on the lesson plan. And for the mummy-to-be, keep calm and push. Pair of rather natty bed socks there. Now, if you're wondering where I'm going with all of this, I do have a reason for mentioning this slogan. You see, I think that if Joseph, son of Jacob, had a Facebook account, I think he would have put it on his newsfeed as an inspirational quote. Certainly, from what I see in the scriptures, he lived his life by it. And I think there's much we can learn from his approach to the situations he found himself in. Richard and George have already shared a bit of Joseph's story. It actually begins in Genesis chapter 37. And here we see straight away that Joseph is his dad's favourite. We know that we shouldn't have favourites. But Jacob, his dad, had been his mother's favourite. History was repeating itself. Now, as his favourite, Joseph was given a special ornate robe. This was a symbol of honour as much as something beautiful. It marked him out as being of management status rather than a labourer like his brothers. And so, of course, his brothers were jealous. They hated him. Given his siblings' resentments, Joseph was perhaps a little unwise in sharing his dreams of elevated status with them. He had a dream where his sheaf of corn was bowed down to by his brother's sheaves, and where the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to him. The brothers hated him even more, and even his doting dad reprimanded him. Well, the brothers' hatred, as Richard said, turned into murderous rage. They plot to kill him, but instead decide to sell him for the slave price of 20 shekels of silver to Ishmaelite traders who are passing by. And we pick up the story in chapter 39 of Genesis. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of the household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the fields. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw he had left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Which words spoken in that reading really stand out in your mind? Repeatedly, the narrator tells us the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. This is a story of blessing. It's a blessing on Joseph which extends out even to his Egyptian master. And yet, despite the Lord's blessing, Joseph becomes a victim of injustice and is thrown into jail. God doesn't always protect us from pain and suffering, but he does remain present with us, and he is committed to our good. When we suffer, God feels it too. The Bible says, You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. God's presence with us comforts us. And we can be comforted also in the knowledge that God uses everything for good, even the sinful choices of men and women, to accomplish his purpose. Look at Joseph, for example. Promoted to a man of status in Potiphar's household, he might have considered himself well off. Admittedly, he was still a slave. But then he was in charge of everything, and success followed him, whatever he did and wherever he went. He might well have been happy to stay where he was. But the good can be the enemy of the best. God had greater things in store for Joseph, more power, greater responsibility, and increased blessing. Joseph may have preferred to stay where he was, but God needed him to move on. Sometimes our circumstances too can feel unsettled. We may feel as though the sand is shifting beneath our feet. But God has a purpose. If we want to keep our equilibrium, we would do well to focus on the bigger picture. A while ago, Ian and I went to Scotland on holiday. One evening, we were out for a walk, and the scenery was just totally stunning. And we enjoyed each other's company too. The only problem was that we weren't the only ones around. It seemed that on that particular evening, there was a whole army of slugs marching steadfastly across our path in great number. And they weren't little either. They were the 6-inch Michelin tire sort. Now, I'm sure that God had a reason for creating slugs. As a hedgehog's dinner, they're fine, but as travelling companions, no thank you. I can't stand them. So I was vigilant. Keeping my eyes on the path, I saw every single slug and managed not to tread any of them into the sole of my walking boots. Ian, however, walked along with his head held high, enjoying the beauty of the landscape. Then the point came at which he stopped. A little in the distance, he could see the most magnificent stag with a full head of antlers, the monarch of the glen. By the time I looked up, it had vanished. I never did see the stag, only an awful lot of slugs. In every situation, no matter how grim, we need to look up and see Jesus. We tend to focus on our problems, but if we aren't careful, our problems can become bigger than God. Lift up your heads and fix your eyes on Jesus, so that you won't become weary and lose heart. Keep calm and trust in God. There is a lovely poem which many of you will know, and it describes God as the weaver of a beautiful tapestry. The idea is that God can see the beauty and the colour of the tapestry on the top, on the presented side, whereas we can only see the loose threads and the untidiness and chaos of the underside. My life is just a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colours he weaves so skillfully. Sometimes he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly? Will God unroll the canvas and explain the reasons why? The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. God has got it under control. And he doesn't waste a thing. Our toughest times can be those which most develop our character. In prison, God was preparing Joseph for his future role. And God does the same for us too in our circumstances. Well, now, moving on to the end of the story where Joseph's brothers have come to him and they are penitent. They haven't recognized him at first. They had no idea of his elevated status as Prime Minister of Egypt. But when they do realize who they're facing, Joseph says this to them. Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. These are not the words of a bitter man. It would seem that Joseph didn't use his time in jail dwelling on the wrong things done to him. You can't always control your circumstances. You can't always control what other people do to you. But with God's help, you can control your response. Joseph may have been in prison, but his heart, mind, and spirit were free. You may be familiar with the line of poetry that goes, "Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage." It is possible to imprison ourselves in our own thought life. It is all too easy to find ourselves in a mental time loop where we keep replaying the wrongs done to us, or we worry incessantly over things which are beyond our control. Like Japanese knotweed, bitterness can creep in and take over. Let us not listen to these negative voices, but instead, let us fix our thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I realise it's not as easy as it sounds. But God is gracious and he will help us if we ask him. But we need to be prepared to let go of our hurt, to learn how to forgive, and to begin to obey him, our loving Heavenly Father. Keep calm and trust in God. God moves Joseph from slave to high office. 13 years passed in slavery and in prison before Joseph reached his destiny. And we've seen a similar journey made in more modern times by people like Nelson Mandela and Lech Walesa, who from imprisonment became national heroes. And their victories of moral courage have been told through the media and have inspired many. But our own personal journey may never be told. We may never achieve even our 15 minutes of fame. But God knows our story, and he is doing a work through each one of us. It may not be on the news, but in Jesus we have a great destiny. The Bible says that our old selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Instead, through Jesus, we are children of God. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. What a destiny! Whether or not we are locked down in body, mind, or spirit, we should never forget who we are in Christ, children and heirs of God's glory. The sufferings we experience are only temporary. One day the kingdom of God will come in all its fullness, and there will be no more sin or pain or suffering or death. There will be no need for God to store up all our tears in a bottle, because he will himself have wiped them all away. But for now, the call is to keep calm and trust God. To quote Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, "Trust him when guilt takes the edge off every joy, when there are no answers to your questions. Trust him when you don't understand. Trust his heart. Trust his purpose. Trust him when it's your heart that's broken. Trust his goodness. Trust him beyond the grave. Trust him to know the best. Trust his plan to be bigger than yours. Trust him to keep his word. Trust him to be on time. Trust him to be enough. Trust him to set you free. Trust him and him alone. The times when you and I can't trust his hand of purpose, we must trust his heart of love." Let's pray together. Father God, we hear the call to trust you. And in our heart, that's what we want. The faith to trust you when we don't understand what is going on around us. But sometimes we find it hard. In your grace, please give us eyes that see your power and purpose. Give us ears that hear your gentle voice. Give us a mind and a heart that is willing to obey. And give us the capacity to receive your unfailing love, that it may flow forth from us and bless those around us. And all this we ask in the precious name of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, now Richard and Adam are going to lead us again in song. It's a song which focuses on the goodness of the shepherds, the goodness of Jesus. And it's a song which helps us to respond to that goodness, with the hope that we will trust, with the trust that we have in God.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my way in righteousness. bread with oil, and my cup, it overflows with joy. I've feasted on His pure delight, and I will trust in You alone. And I will trust in You alone, for Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil. I need to know, and I will trust in You alone, and I will trust in You alone, for Your endless mercy follows me, Your goodness will lead me.
So much for that. Sorry, I forgot the mic. Really great. And I think there's so much we can all learn. And if there's anything which you believe God's put His finger on, and it could have been just something part of the story, let alone the core of that message about trusting in God, no matter what our circumstances, then do. Get in touch. Follow it through. You know, with your life group leader or someone else, if you wanted to tag into the prayers and then have some ministry during the coffee time, then you could do that. Otherwise, you could email us. You could email Alison. You could, you know, if there's things that you need to be following through, then please do that. But we're coming to the close of our service. It's been brilliant. Thank you again so much for being with us today. Thank you again, Alfred and Max and George, for my brownie. It was fantastic. But let's remember that whole situation of injustice and even pick up on more of those prayers which Pete prayed. Okay, we're going to draw our service to a close with a grace, and it's over to Helen Hinsel. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.